Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari, Season 1, Episode 7. Hi, I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to the Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari. This podcast is based on a simple truth. Who you surround yourself with matters. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari will interview thought leaders from all walks of life who will share how they leverage peer advantage and show you how engaging your peers more purposefully can hold the key to greater success in business and in life. Today's guest is Raphael Gordon. Raphael is a life strategist, leadership specialist, and innovator of inspiration. For more than a decade, Raphael has been leveraging the core fundamentals that promote productivity while guiding entrepreneurs and global leaders to success. He provides great insight into the environmental and physical circumstances that impact an individual's personal and business performance. Raphael knows how to create positive work environments that enhance an individual and team's performance. We welcome Raphael to the show. Let's get started.
Raphael Gordon, welcome to the show today. I'm so thrilled to have you here. I can't tell you.
Thank you for having me, Leo. I appreciate the invite. I'm excited for this dialogue.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I would love for our audience to know is how we met, right? End of June. You, me, Ryan Foland, three speakers from the U.S. were actually invited by Miguel Diaz to go to Portugal to the ANJ conference where they were celebrating their 30th anniversary, really of working and helping, you know, inspire entrepreneurship in Portugal. And we had met there, and I was just so struck by how easily we all just got together and got along and how much we learned from one another just in such a short period of time. And as you know, I guess there are some people that come in and out of our lives, and that is, you know, often very natural. On the other hand, there are people that you meet that, you know, I want to make sure that I advance that relationship as opposed to letting it go away. So I certainly regard you as one of those people. And I was, you know, loved hearing your talk. First of all, I got to be able to listen to you speak at the ANJ conference, which was great. And I'm particularly struck by, and I want to use this as a start because I think this is so foundational for you in terms of how you see the world, in that your location is not your destination. So I want you to tell us a little bit about kind of where you've come from and how that has come about for you.
Absolutely. From the beginning, I was coming from Newark, New Jersey, born and raised, and I'm the oldest out of four boys. My parents have four boys, no girls, so so they had a handful. And I always say that, you know, I've had the opportunity of knowing what it's like to have, you know, both parents and your brothers around all the time, but along the way, my parents had pretty much got into drugs and alcohol, and that really kind of broke us all apart. And so I always say this part about the term or the word opportunity, and I look at taking something that what most people consider negative and making it something positive. So I had the opportunity of knowing what it was like to live in homeless shelters, as well as not being having a support system along the way as I was growing up. So in Newark, New Jersey, my mother took on taking care of my three brothers and I, and we went from shelter to shelter and living in the projects there. But along the way, going into probably around the age of 14, 15 years of age, I was introduced to entrepreneurship, or pretty much started my first company. There was a program prior to when I was younger that was called the Ready Program, and they kind of taught you like the basics of what it was like to be an entrepreneur, but it wasn't as popular as it is now to be an entrepreneur. So I started my first company at the age of like 14 or 15. And it was just super awesome. My first products were selling candy. So from there, I went on to college and ended up starting a organization and actually expanding my business into doing event planning. So we focused specifically on creating unity programs and events for organizations and businesses that didn't have enough funding. So the business got so big and got so awesome on the campus is that I got banned from throwing events, from hosting events, as well as doing things. Yeah, crazy. I was like the P. Diddy of my college campus, as anybody would call it. So, you know, the president all the way down to the deans of students would always call me in after, like, the day after the parties and say, hey, Rob, we love you and everything. We see you're doing some great things, but you're giving us a big headache. So we need to figure out a way for you to do this, like, off campus. So so along the way, I know I had something, but I just didn't know exactly what it was because I was always about meeting new people and bringing people together. And so I always felt like giving love was like my core thing. And that was my brand, to just give love and I would receive it back. And because I had a business, all that love that I was giving out, I was giving it back also on the business end. But I had to do it, you know, in bigger venues and different platforms. So I used entrepreneurship as a way to, one, to get out of poverty and going into college. I used it as leverage to talk about that in my application for college for the university. And I got into Montclair State University and started to just pretty much just, you know, do the schoolwork. I wasn't a bright student per se with the academics, but I was really good with networking. I was really good at just trying to just learning. And that was my thing. Like, how can I be better? How can I assist others? And that was the thing that kept me going along the way and to also get me to where I am right now.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, I read one time that separates our generations is that, you know, when I was growing up, we were taught that good things come to those who wait. Absolutely. And I think, quite frankly, in your generation, you've taken on the idea that good things come to those who act, which is why so frequently, you know, I see, you know, and hear stories about starting companies as young as you did. Clearly, you knew your target audience selling candy, right? You were
right,
able
right.
to, that was easy. That worked out pretty well. But also, you know, it's kind of interesting all along the way. Certainly, you've had a lot of different influences in your life. I know everything from your grandmother and mentors and all. But I'd also like you to speak a little bit about what you've described as your circles. How did you kind of come up with that concept? What does that look like for you? And if you could share some of that with the audience, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always have this thing, this little saying where it's like, you know, you can't have squares in your circle if you want to stay in shape. You know?
Okay.
And so I always felt, because you always have this thing about calling people who are squares, like just people who are just very stern. They're not flexible. They're not, you know, they're not creative. And so, you know, and they're not always doing more. They just do just enough to get by. And so I always wanted to be around, and I learned this along the way, especially from mentors that I met and just people who I've been people that I've studied, that they've always worked with or stayed connected to people who they admire, who were doing the things or had the lifestyle that you were yearning for, or that you can learn so much from. Because it was always these, from the books that I've read, whether it's like The Millionaire Next Door, Think and Grow Rich, or if it's, you know, 48 Laws, you know, all these different things about how you're supposed to, like, you know, have these influential people around you so that they can push you to go beyond your normal. And so for me, it's always about making extraordinary your ordinary. So I try to find extraordinary people who are great at what they do, who are passionate, and who are constantly trying to find and seek inspiration and motivation in their life to keep them going. And so, you know, there's this thing, there's a study that talks about how if a person is motivating, if they're inspirational, right? If you have a friend that's just like that in your circle and you meet them for dinner or for lunch, some of that energy and some of that, whatever they give you, makes you, it intensifies as your joy. It makes you more excited about life, you know, cause you're loving what they're doing. That's your friend, that's your associate. So, you know, you're proud of them and you're excited. So what happens is when you move to the next circle, or the next individuals that you may connect with, that person that you had lunch with who is really inspiring, it's like a residue on you. Like now that energy, so when you meet the next person, like you have this sense of joy. And so people like ask you, like, what is that about you? Like, why are you so happy? And for me, it was like, you know, my thing was, well, I'm happy because my friend is happy. My friend is doing all these different things. So, you know, so it lets you know, it kind of was like a signature of approval that you have good people, like you're, you know, your environment has healthy things and healthy people in it. And I think it's so important to have like a healthy circle. I think you should always, I always say inventory check. You should always inventory check who you're connected to and who do you allow into your circle, because you have to remember that, you know, you have 24 hours in a day and you want to make sure that the majority of your time is being invested in well, and people are coming in and giving you tools and also pushing you and also allowing you to push them as well. So there's no judgment. There's always just maybe questions and, you know, just asking you questions that can make you think more about the journey that you're on or the strategies that you're creating, because it's very important. So having a healthy circle will keep you in shape. It'll always keep you in shape.
Well, and oftentimes too, I think you raise a good point about taking stock of the people around us, because our goals and our aspirations, they evolve and they change over time as well. So reevaluating that, you know, can be very, very important. And I think not only from a perspective of who do I have in my life now, who did I meet this year or last year, you know, in the case of you or Ryan or people that I want to make sure now in 2017, how do I advance those relationships? How do I do my best to help them? And how can I learn, you know, from others? But I also think there's an aspect too, and I'd be interested in your comment on this, of people, because we naturally have people kind of flow in and out of our lives. But yet there are times where I think, you know, I haven't talked to that person in a year or two or three, and oftentimes it's longer than you think. And I think about, you know, I should really reach out to that person, because for whatever reason, often unexplainable, they're not in my life anymore. And I want to try to rekindle that. Have you had some of that you want to speak to as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally keep I call it like my global mailing list. And these are just individuals who I've met all over the world, who I personally connected with and remembered, you know, there was the first time that we met. So for example, like the first time you and I met, I made a mental note in that evening to make a note of what was the first word or what was, you know, what was the first interaction? Where were we? What was like the highlight of our connection? And so my thing is to always make sure that it's a very authentic connection, and making sure that when I reach out to these individuals, that we always remind them how we met. Because I think it's very important to stay connected with individuals, because especially when it's someone that you meet that's very, that could be awesome for your life. So for me, I think it's important that you reach out. There's nothing more important than the human connection. That's what I'll always be. So I always think it's important to create experiences. And rather than just like someone's picture on social media, it's always good to be in the picture, I always say, because along the way you can have shared moments and shared experiences and shared life experiences that can also be beneficial to years to come. So I think it's important to definitely reach out, even if it's once a month, or even, you know, maybe every quarter, you kind of send an email out to someone or just make a phone call. I'm always big on phone calls because, you know, again, I'm always with my studies. So there's like 26 different tonalities. So when someone is, you know, saying that they're super happy, they're super excited on Facebook or on social media, you know, I want to call. Like, I think you had called me a few weeks ago, and, you know, it was just, I was such in a great, great, great moment. And for you to call, you know, call me, you know, we had a great dialogue, and you were driving up, you was taking a ride up. I think you were heading out of state.
I was going up to San Francisco to see Karen and Andre. Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, even in those aspects of dialogue, it's another shared experience. And I think that helps build the bonds, make them tighter. And, you know, again, it's all about shared experiences. And I always use the term, it's always about shared experiences rather than shared posts. Because when you meet two people, if you meet two individuals along the way, and one that you mostly had dialogue with on social media compared to one you had dialogue with via phone, email, and actually going to meet each other, that person that you have that authentic dialogue with and communication with consistent, you have more of a tighter connection with them, and also have more things to talk about and more of a genuine, authentic knowing about that person. And I think that is so important, whether it's about teamwork, development for business, and even for your personal life.
So let me tell you a little bit about what it was like for me meeting you the first time. So two things that obviously were very apparent. One is that joy that you talk about is the real deal. When you get up on stage and you do what you do, I think to myself, that's who that guy is all the time. So that's what was really you know, inspiring for me and to see that. But the other thing you did, if you remember, we were walking around the streets of Portugal. We were just kind of figuring out our way, probably looking for a restaurant or a bite to eat or something like that. And you had basically asked me, hey, share a quote with me, share something that mattered to you or that you learned. And it was, you know, in so many words, you were like, all right, teach me something. We're walking around here. I want to learn something. Tell me what you have. And I thought that was a really great practice to kind of challenge the people around you, you know, to bring some value, but in the most positive way, which was great. And I'm kind of wondering a little bit about when did that practice start for you? Because most of us, I think we encounter people all the time that we can learn so much from, but we don't ask them, you know, and you asked. So,
yeah, it's a great question. And I can't really pinpoint the exact moment, but I know since I was young, since high school, teenage years, I was always inquisitive about just knowing more. And I always knew, and you know, along the way that, you know, knowledge is power, and knowing truth, like having facts and truth, will help you get the exact results that you want. And so I've always felt that people who I admire or who I see that's inspiring or is doing something that is really awesome, and I feel like they have it down pat, I just want to learn from them. You know, most of the time people say, you know, what is it that you need? I would just say, just the information, insight. Just tell me, how did you do it? What inspires you? What keeps you going? Because I think, like, you know, if I know that, like, that's another tool on my belt. You know, a quote that I didn't, you know, a quote that you gave me that I didn't know before, and like now that's something I can put on my wall or have it in my phone, which I have my phone, and you know, I can just look at it and say, okay, when I'm going through a particular moment, you know, here it is. But I think it's important that you remember, each person should remember that they are all servants. And so there's moments when, like, for that moment, like, my plate might have been empty with, you know, quotes or inspiration. And so my thing was, like, I was hungry to learn. And I think it's important as a leader to always be hungry, always to stay hungry for knowledge, be thirsty for it, and to never feel full, and always know that there's always so much that you can learn. And the more you learn from others, the better. And those, because everyone around you can be a teacher, and that goes back to your circle. If the people that's in your circle, they can't offer you insight or information or something new or something for you, a different viewpoint, you gotta change up your circle. You gotta add more people to it, or just take some people out, because it's important that you're constantly learning. And people are gonna ask you questions like, well, who are some people that's connected to you that inspire you? And you wanna say all the individuals in your circle. You wanna say that all the individuals in my circle make me feel successful, because they are all successful in their own right. You know, they have families or they have businesses that are doing well, and they're giving back. And so for me, I think that if I can learn from a person and get that insight, it can help develop me as a man, as a businessman, as a brother, as a friend, and just as a leader on a global platform as well.
You know, while you're on that subject, I really would love to kind of give the audience a much broader view. You know, obviously we met in Portugal. We've talked about some of the things that are clearly, you know, central to your message. But talk a little bit about what you did in 2016, because I thought that the variation of the audiences you spoke to, everybody from business people or being at the Nobel, you know, awards to, you know, and then the other hand, you know, being at the White House. But I think most impressive to me is the time that you've also spent with young people, teaching them the value of the importance of relationships and about thinking of themselves and believing in themselves and making sure that they surround themselves with people who want to do that. So if you'd love to speak to some of that work, I think that would give, you know, the audience a really good feel for what you're all about.
Absolutely, Leo. So I love speaking to young people because they're the next generation. And I feel that it's important to talk to them and be their big brothers or they're just their mentors, whoever they are. Because as they get older, they're gonna remember the individuals that helped them along the way. If you are a person in a leadership position, or if you're a person that's all about giving back or creating business, you got to be aware that you are also a teacher. And the people that will learn and listen to you the most are young people, because they're sponges. They want to know how to get to your level. You know, some of them are really eager. They look for those mentors. And so for me, I think I intensify my joy when you got 600 to 1,000 young people in the the audience, and they are there on their own to come see me speak. You know, I did a tour throughout Mexico. I touched about maybe about 2,500, you know, young people. And I was just blown away that some of these young people waited 2 years to hear me speak, because they've always followed me on social media over the years, but they never had an opportunity to see me. So now they're teenagers. Some of them have jobs and they can buy tickets and they can, you know, they can buy their own books, and they come out and they just want to learn and they take so many notes. And I always, when I talk to them, that they always said, I want to stay connected. And for them, their language is social media. So even though I don't get a chance to see them physically all the time, I mentor these young people on social media. So every time I put a post up, you know, I may get 7 to 10 inbox messages from these young people based upon a quote or based upon a video. And so I think it's important to always, for myself included, to just always take time to teach them, because someone taught us when we were younger. And so we have to fulfill any void that they may feel that is around them when it comes to older individuals who they want to look for to get the information and the knowledge so that they don't make any mistakes. And they will be the ones taking care of us when we get older. So, you know, we want to make sure that it's in good hands and that we give them the best value and belief systems that can help them become great people in the long run.
So, and you speak to older individuals and audiences like me. So what is your message to those audiences? You have people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. You've got sometimes very successful people or people who even aspire to something else. What's your message to them when you're speaking?
Well, for those individuals, it's always about the aspect of taking a moment to understand that this time that they have is very valuable and that they're always needed. I think it's important to know that in the beginning, some of us, and even for myself included, when I was much younger, I always looked at success as the materialistic thing, maybe the car, the house, the money, and things like that. But along the way, I realized that success is based upon the friends that you have for the long period of time. I think success is based upon who have you helped along the way, the books that you've read, the act of having freedom to do the things that will be able to help serve humanity better. So when I have these seminars, a lot of the times it's catered specifically to entrepreneurs and global leaders. And I do a lot of advising with individuals who are well older than I am. And their thing is, well, Ra, I have these projects, I have these ideas. How can I leverage it to make sure the next generation embraces it as much as I do? How can I, you know, be more effective in this modern day society with what I got? Because some things that worked for me before isn't working now. And so I have these discussions and always ask, well, what is the crystal clear vision? Like, give me clarity. Tell me what it is that you specifically want. What's the feeling like? You know, who's going to be in this vision of yours? So I try my best to have these dialogues to make sure that it's a clear vision about, you know, what is it that they want, they're going for now, and knowing that, you know, how do you make your life more exciting than what it already is? You know, have you traveled to a specific country that you've never been to, that you've always been yearning to? Okay, how do we get you there? And how does that intensify you to be a better leader, to be a better person? You know, have you, how many young people have you met in the past year? Okay, how can we double that for you? You know, so my thing is always looking at how can, and Dio's like, how can you make your life, say for 2017, double the intensity of joy than it was for 2016.
You know, I think oftentimes for audiences like that, I run into people who will say, I wish I could have done this. I wish I went there. I wish I started this. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're still vertical, you can do that, right? I mean, what's stopping you? You know, one of the great examples of that, and this was one of the quotes I think that I shared with you in Portugal, is from a gentleman, Pat Heinemann. He was actually a chair, a leader of groups from Vistage. He started being a chair, which was basically he was leading CEO groups. He had about three groups in the San Diego area. And he started that new career at 73, had a very successful career prior to that, owned companies, was one of the founders of UCSD, all things that you could reflect on and be perfectly happy with. From the age of 73 until he was 98, So he does this new career for 25 years, regarded it as the most rewarding work of his life. And basically, when people asked him, how do you do it? Because his strength of presence and mind and all was so extraordinary. He says, you don't grow old. He says, you become old when you stop growing. Right. And if you remember, that was one of the things that I shared with you, because I'm certainly trying to live by that now. And it's great advice. But I think it's really powerful stuff. But anyway, I want to pivot a little bit to your book. Now, I should say your book. You've written 14 of them at 33. And by the way, I co-authored one. It took me the better part of the year, and I wasn't doing much else other than that. So I really applaud this idea of, as busy as you are, being able to crank out that kind of work. But the book is called Skyscraper. And would definitely love for you to share kind of what that's about, where that came from, the influence of your grandmother, certainly, in that story, and what you hope readers can gain from that book.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book Skyscraper, I was writing the book specifically just in regards to, I haven't had a book that just gives a lot of methods and insight, and also like share a lot of the methods and how I actually see the world and how I build myself up to be a strong leader and entrepreneur. And so I decided to get rid of all expectations. I live by standards, not expectations, because expectations will never be met. But having a standard allows you to, if I say my standard is to only eat at specific restaurants, then it's like, okay, great. If there's going to be A+ restaurants, then that's going to be my standard. Whatever comes from that, I have to embrace it, whether good or bad, because that's my standard. So when I was writing Skyscraper, I said, okay, my standard is going to be quality. I wanted to be over 150 pages over at minimum. And I said that I want to make sure that every page has some type of strong insight that someone can learn from. And I want to make sure I cut no corners. I want to be a really strong book. And I said, I want to emulate a superhero. So I was like, why not Bruce Wayne? And so the front cover is it was inspired by Bruce Wayne, but I felt that the information that's in it was my superpower. And so while I was writing the book, I wrote the book in Times Square. I was sitting at a cafe called Cafe Bean, and it's a pretty well-known international cafe. And I wanted to sit there because I wanted the book to be inspired by, have an international flavor. I wanted to be around people that spoke different languages. So every day for 2 weeks, I would go into the cafe and sit there every day, all day, and just write. And for 2 weeks, cranked out this book, used all my notes.
Wow.
And people would ask me, people that were coming in every day started to see me. They said, hey, what are you writing? And I would tell them, and I asked them, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm from Australia. I'm from Norway. I'm from London. I'm from Manchester. So these people were coming with their accents, speaking English, but it was so awesome. And I would say, well, can you tell me something? Give me a powerful quote or something in your language. So while doing that, I didn't have a title. And so the final day, I'm going to the cafe. My grandmother calls me and she says, hey, Ross. She was like, how's everything going? And I said, everything is well, but I never told her that I was writing a book. So at the end of our conversation, she goes, I always wanted to let you know that that I'm going to always be your foundation. I'm going to always be your first and your biggest investor, but you're my skyscraper. And I want you to soar as high as you can to the skies and beyond. And I just doused, like, oh, that's it.
Skyscraper.
Here it is. And so I went back to the cafe. I wrote it out, typed it, and said, this is going to be the title. And I just knew it fit well. And my grandmother was a opera singer. My grandmother sang opera when she was younger. And her first performance in public was for the Apollo. And at that time, she said that she performed, but she got booed off the stage at the Apollo. It was like amateur night. And she never went back on the stage to perform. But what she said to me along all these years, and even that's why I say with the book, it kind of plays an important piece. She always told me that she lives through me because she feels that my life is what happens when a person has a dream or vision and goes all the way in with it and doesn't stop. No matter how many times they fall or give up or try, people tell them to give up, they keep going. And so she said to me that, for you to do what you're doing has empowered me. And that's where Skyscraper has come from a in-depth way of just sharing my insight and saying, this book is just for someone to just be powerful and inspiring in their own right, and to not have so much expectation, but have a strong standard that will help them get them to where they want to actually want to get to in the years to come.
You know, I read Skyscraper, as you know, and I also read 123. And what I loved about really both books is that they're not just about, which are valuable, of course, of sharing your experiences and all, but you really give people like a blueprint for how to apply much of what you learned in their own lives, which I really find to be probably the greatest value of those books. And I'm sure if I read the other 12, I would feel just the same way. I'll get there, you know, eventually. But, you know, it's great stuff. You know, just in wrapping up here a little bit too, I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about what can we as individuals, right? Just as one person, do to be a positive influence for those around us?
Yeah. I think it's important that one, to listen. I think it's very important that we as individuals take time to just understand why a person does or do what they do. And you ask questions that allow you to kind of get up, even if you don't agree to some of the things, but just kind of have an understanding. So you understand what their belief systems are, what their standards are, and how that plays in part to expectations. Because a lot of times I think that we can sometimes have these high expectations or have these visions for people because we see potential in them. But if we really don't understand what they go through day to day, what their life, their activities are, they may never fulfill that potential. And so it's really important that if you want to be a asset to someone's life, to take time to listen to them and then offer some suggestions that they may end up using down the line, or even right at that moment. I think it's important because a lot of times for me, I'm meeting so many people, even around the world, like everyone has this common thing of wanting to be happy. And I always say, or have joy in their life. And I think it's important in this day and time that I feel like it's important that someone, that we take time to listen and be inspiration and be a positive light to people who we meet, because we never know what they're going through. So I always take time, I always say, you know, take a moment to observe a person and give them a compliment, whether it's on their sweater or, you know, because you never know if someone said, hey, today you look amazing. You know, I love, you know, your hairdo, or I love what you did, or I love what you said on Facebook. And so that may be the first compliment of them for the entire day. So if, as long as we kind of have that intention of going out into the world and being a positive light and being an asset in someone's life, I think that we'll do so much more, and like your influence will go so much, go beyond what you see it to be or see where it is now. And I think that even for no matter what generation, what age demographic, or what particular background, I think that when someone has great energy and great light and want to help others, they transcend. And I think it's important that we as individuals try to transcend our positive, our energy, our love for humanity, and just to being able to know, like, you know, it's not about us. Like when we create books or when we've written books, but the books that we written wasn't for us. It's for the people, for the reader. So we're actually serving them. We're giving them something that's going to be a tool for their tool belt. So as long as we kind of look at our lives as like a great tool to have in someone's belt, it's like you'll always be in someone's circle. You'll always be needed. You'll always get a call. You always get an email or a retweet. And it's only because you are being an asset or being a servant to someone's life, which is far greater than anything that you can see now. Because if you can help someone just by saying hi, or, you know, here's a quote, that's beyond successful, you know, especially to me.
Well, thanks for sharing that. To your point, it's sometimes just the smallest things that can have the biggest impact. And I can't tell you how pleased I am and how happy and just how wonderful it's been to have you inspire the listeners on this show. Keep doing what you're doing. You were born to do it. And you have a great 2017 and beyond, just inspiring everyone to be their best selves. So thank you so much.
You too. Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Peer Advantage, to submit questions to Leo and our guest, and to subscribe to the Year of the Peer podcast, please visit us at leobattari.com. That's L-E-O BOTTARY.com. This podcast is produced by me, Randy Cantrell, hosted, of course, by Leo Batari. Music provided by Kevin McLeod, Vibe Ace, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.